710 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A banker to whom Wall Street listens to is making a prediction.
Jamie Dimon says he expects the economy to grow this year, but warns there are problems on the horizon. The J.P. Morgan CEO says in his annual letter to shareholders that the wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, as well as an increasingly combative political process combined with inflation, could harm the economy more than any time since World War II. Dimon is considered by many to be the nation's most influential banker, and his comments have moved the financial markets. Daria Albinger, ABC News, New York.
The European Climate Change Service, Copernicus, says March was the 10th straight month with record-breaking global temperatures, and March 2024 is now the warmest March ever. A New York appeals judge rejected Donald Trump's request to delay his hush money trial starting next Monday and for a change of venue. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden unveiling a new student loan forgiveness plan at a stop in Madison Monday. Up to $20,000 in interest would be canceled for the 25 million Americans who owe more now than they first borrowed.
While a college degree still is a ticket to the middle class, that ticket's becoming much too expensive.
And borrowers who make less than $120,000 a year could have their interest canceled. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican bill that would have let 14 and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin work without getting a state permit or their parents' permission. The Republican bill was part of a wider push to roll back child labor laws in Wisconsin. Evers says asking more kids to work is not a serious solution to the state's worker shortage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. This one's been circled on the schedule for months. The Bucks hosting the number one seed in the conference, the Celtics, tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks trying to snap that four-game losing streak at home and overcome injuries, like Chris Middleton having a tooth knocked out Sunday night against the Knicks. Doc Rivers.
And Chris, you know, was great to begin in the game. He was absolutely fantastic. You just feel bad for him. The guy can't catch a break, you know. What's the odds of you getting you're going to a game. Okay, tonight it'll be my tooth getting knocked out. You know, it's just, he's having one of those seasons. Just tough luck.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Reds again in Cincinnati after losing the opener last night 10-8. Milwaukee committing four errors.
You know, there's a million things we could have done better. But it's part of it. It's part of it. You don't always play great defense. This was a draining game, but we battled back, and there's a lot to be proud of.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game. And he goes, hey, guys, can I get a dunk? Somebody throws him the ball. And he runs and powers it down. And I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible off and on through about midday, and then we will gradually become partly cloudy this afternoon. 56 today, the wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 36. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 65 with some late day and nighttime showers. That will continue into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Coming up Tuesday on Nat Nair On Air, three headlines and a lie. This time, it's Greg Bach's turn. Don't miss it.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, hands in the air. How many of you paused at least a little bit yesterday to try to take a look at what was going on with the total eclipse? Morning, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke, and I was one of those. I took some time out yesterday to witness what I could, anyhow, in Wisconsin. Boy, oh boy, some beautiful pictures on social media and mainstream media that captured that amazing sight. Obviously, Wisconsin, not necessarily in a real good vantage point as far as our angle on that, but still, pretty impressive all the way around. That is now in our rearview mirror. Today, we are looking for sunny skies. 58 are expected high, maybe clouds rolling in this afternoon. Winds will be out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and 66. Thursday, a 66% chance of rain in the forecast, 54. Friday, partly cloudy and 58 degrees. Weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way. We're also going to be talking about the latest crop progress report, how Wisconsin farmers have been faring as far as field work is concerned. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, steps in to join us. And 4-H camp, if you've ever gone, I hope it brings a smile to your face just to think about 4-H camp. Well, guess what? It's back again in 2024. And a lot of the staples that you enjoyed maybe a couple decades ago are still around. Visiting with a Dodge County Extension agent on why you might want to think about getting your kids involved in a Wisconsin 4-H camp.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Following an already challenging year for apple production, the weather continues to play a major role in yields growers see for 2024. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Steve Lewis, owner of Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center, says that growers across the country are all at different stages of production. He, for example, has had buds break dormancy already this year, marking the earliest that he can ever remember.
We broke buds, you know, probably 2 weeks ago now. Now, the last 2 weeks have been, you know, just the weather what we would need it here now, you know, last week and this week. Cool things down, slow things down. We haven't gotten too cold yet. I don't think we've gotten any damage. We've had a couple nights. We've been really close, but so far we're doing okay.
So that sounds like a silver lining, but what are you worried about then as you're walking through and just looking at your trees?
Well, you know, now that we've broken there, you know, anytime we get above, you know, the low 40s, they're going to, you know, just keep going and maturing, you know, and as we get farther and farther into the stage, you know, they get the critical low temperatures that they can tolerate start to rise. You know, right now we're probably around that 17, 18 degrees that they can take without damage. We've already had two nights down in the 20s, low 20s, so we're getting really close there. But, you know, right now we're, you know, kind of at what we would call silver tip to green tip stage. As we go just a little bit longer, you know, we'll start to get towards that, you know, when the flowers start to come out, tight cluster and pink and that stages, then we start to get where we can, you know, we need to be 27 and above. You know, we start to get around 28, we start to get some injury. We get to about 25 when we get a lot of injury.
So what's your plan of attack moving forward then?
You know, really going forward, just going to kind of monitor and see what the long-term forecast is. There are some nutrients that we can give to the tree to try and help them in these stress conditions, but we need the right conditions to get them. You know, right now they wouldn't do anything because there's not enough leaf out there to absorb those nutrients. But as we get closer to bloom, if we get some more, you know, cooler conditions and some repeated cold spells, we can kind of give them that to try and nurse them through.
You kind of highlighted already the dry soil moisture. So how are you coping with that?
You know, we battled the drought conditions as bad a conditions that I've ever seen in you know, the last 30 years. really from last April all the way through, you know, into the fall was terrible. We're still incredibly dry. We've missed a lot of the snows this winter. And in the last 3 weeks, the rains that, you know, a lot of people have gotten around us here, we've maybe gotten a half to three quarter inch total in those three storms. So we're really, really lacking in moisture. That's another thing that kind of gives me some concern that are we stressed with that already, that, you know, the cold conditions were even going to hit us harder. Not a lot we can do. You know, it's really hard to start irrigating in this kind of weather because when you're freezing at night, it runs into problems. So once we get past that, freezing and probably, you know, start irrigating a lot sooner than what we would have normally done.
Your operation, your fields, they're kind of on a hillside. So how does that impact things then when it comes to this for you?
Yeah, so we're planted on the tops of the hills for a reason. That's to avoid the frost in the spring. You know, that cold air will drain into the valleys and give us some protection in the spring. You know, sometimes 5 to 10 degrees warmer up here than, you know, just a half a mile down in the valley. So that's the reason we're planted where we are, to try and mitigate some of those.
What are you hearing from growers around you? Anything that's sticking out to you?
You know, everybody's kind of dealing in the same thing. Guys up north are maybe a little better. They aren't quite as far as us, been a little cooler, but guys all around the, you know, Midwest, Michigan's in the same stage. Guys out east are probably a little farther along than we are. They have not seen the colder conditions that we have, but we've got a long ways to go before we're out of the woods.
We also have to talk about insects or weed control when we think about weather. Those are definitely affected by the weather. So are there any concerns moving into this growing season? Are there maybe some coming out earlier than they normally would, or what have you been seeing?
We don't think so. We were so dry last year that that helped us with a lot of the insect pressure. This year, we don't think we're going to see anything different with our normal pests. The one thing that we're really concerned in this area is it's the 17-year cicada hatch, and we are kind of right in the epicenter of what that could be a potential really, really damaging year with those. 17 years ago when they hatched, we had a lot of damage. They're kind of a difficult insect to control. What they do is they'll crawl up the trees and they'll sting the branches and lay their eggs in there. And then as those eggs mature, then it'll kill the branch. And in these smaller type trees we have, they could do a tremendous amount of damage to those trees.
Is there any way that you can prepare for that then? Or is it more of a cross your fingers and hope for the best?
We've been really doing a lot of talking. You know, we're really trying to push the envelope in the last 10 years here on going towards, you know, very light chemistry, softer things, you know, trying to be a lot easier on, you know, the whole environment, so we're not using nearly as harsh of chemicals. So that really poses a problem with what we can use to control the cicadas and not really throw the whole thing out of balance that we've worked so hard on the last 10 years, you know, to try and, you know, be easier on the bees, be easier on the predator insects that are out there that help us control the problem insects. And that's a really big concern for us, how we're going to control these this time without throwing everything out of balance.
We talked about pests like insects, but when I hear pests, I also think of deer or other wildlife. So are those an issue for you at all?
A little bit, you know, not much. Our whole entire orchard is fenced, so we've got an 8-foot-tall fence to keep the deer out because, you know, 20 years ago they were such a problem. And the way we grow apples now, we could not grow apples where we are without having them fenced. They would do so much damage. The deer numbers in our area are down significantly from where they were 10 years ago, but even that, you know, a few deer can do a lot of damage in an apple orchard because it's their favorite thing and they just keep coming back. So we have those all fenced out. That helps us control some other things, but, you know, in a winter time with a lot of snow, we can get, you know, rabbits and mouse damage. This past winter, we were, you know, no snow and bare, so that helped kind of mitigate that.
How about in terms of shipping or pricing? Are you expecting any issues there?
Shipping, from what I've talked with most of our people we work with, is starting to stabilize a little bit. Pricing, unfortunately, on the apple side of the industry, really took a nosedive middle of the season last year and this year, and appears is going to be down this whole entire year, unless there's a major weather effect someplace where somebody loses a lot of their crop.
So obviously it's a little early to tell right now, but if you had to kind of project out, what would you say is your overall outlook for the season?
I think, you know, we should be sitting, looking at probably a normal crop, we're hoping. We're a little concerned with, you know, what our tree health and our bud health is coming off of the dry season last year. So what of our, you know, what will those buds look like? Even if we get through, you know, a spring frost and not have any injury there, what we're going to look like there for a crop to set if the trees are strong enough to set a good crop. You know, some rains this spring could really help strengthen those trees. And we've got a little bit of time to hopefully we start to catch up on some of those things. So I think it's, you know, we just always encourage, you know, all the customers to, you know, to try and buy local and visit their local farm markets or orchards as often as they can when the season is on and just enjoy that and enjoy that getting to know those people and building those relationships from a source of produce that they can trust.
That was Steve Lewis, owner of Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center. He says a normal bloom time is around the 5th or 10th of May, and that sets him up to be able to be harvesting around the 10th of September or so. However, this year, he thinks he'll be a bit ahead of schedule. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Wisconsin's Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week is now. Be ready for statewide tornado drills on Thursday, April 11th at 1:45 and 6:45. So wherever you may be, at school, work, or home with your family, this is the time to talk about your tornado and severe weather safety plans. And muscle memory is key in an emergency. Remember that a watch means a storm, tornado, or flooding is possible. The ingredients are there. And a warning is issued when one of those is about to or already is happening. Take shelter immediately. Our state averages close to 25 tornadoes between May and August. But recent records have been broken with tornadoes now tearing through the month of February. So it pays to always be weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jason Mansmith, Matt Miller, and Don Rosen. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media radio network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Going to continue to try to get nutrients out on those fields as fast as they can so that they get a chance to capitalize on the nutrition that it brings to their fields for spring planting. Renee Kuslick can tell you all about it. She's one of the team members with Strong Microbials. They're in Milwaukee, and they've launched iManure, intelligent manure. No doubt most folks in this audience have caught at least once or twice a whiff of that nutrient package that our farmers are spreading out on farm fields. Well, iManure basically would help to try to mitigate some of that smell. Renee Kuslick explains a little bit more about the concept.
It's called iManure, intelligent manure, but essentially it's microbes that go in and redigest everything that's already in the pit. So it eats up any clumps and keeps eating until they run out of food. So anything new thrown into the pit will continue to be reabsorbed. And the best thing is, being a good neighbor, these microbes also will trap the ammonia in it so it becomes more available in the soil and less gaseous and smelly to your neighbors.
Well, there you go. Trying to be a good neighbor. Renee Kuslick, again, she's with Strong Microbials out of Milwaukee. We're talking about their new technology, Intelligent Manure, iManure. And she explains that it might also help save you space when it comes to manure storage.
They will work on everything except sand. We still don't have a microbe that eats sand as much as I've asked. But it works on sawdust bedding. It works on straw. It does quite a bit, as well as making chunks float to the top. So you have less need for agitation and more ease of pumping. We suggest treating monthly. We've also had people shock it and do it once or twice a year, but we suggest for ease of pumping and ease of maintenance just once a month.
Again, Renee Kuslick, the technology is called iManure, Strong Microbials out of Milwaukee, helping to hopefully get less odor in neighborhoods, also reduce fly and pest populations. Here's our pest, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us this morning. Welcome in, buddy. Hey, did you see the eclipse yesterday? Did you take any time to try?
You know, I saw it starting. I was outside. I was like, yep, sky's looking different. Looked at the time. Oh, I got a while. Went inside and did something. And the next time I looked at the clock, it was 2:30.
Yeah, me and the neighbors, a couple of us were outside. They had the glasses on. I was kind of using my cell phone to track what I could. I think Wisconsin probably missed out on the real vivid visuals, despite the fact that it was a gorgeous day.
Yeah, you could see there was that change, but that's about all I noticed. And it was a gorgeous day that left us all wanting to get a little more work done, no doubt about that. Really fine conditions were seen, although there was still a little rain here and there off in the north. There's still a little rain off in the north this morning as well. In fact, that radar indicating scattered showers north and northeast of Wausau, up through Tomahawk, Rhinelander, Anago, up into the UP. Some sprinkles to the west of that as well. So we're not quite done with rain in the state, but low pressure is going to travel from eastern and northeast parts of Minnesota up into Canada today. Any clouds or precipitation in northern Wisconsin will taper off and come to an end. In the south, I still expect some sunshine. And another very fine day. Temps very much like yesterday, back up around 60 or even a little warmer in the west, so it sounds pretty mild. The next low-pressure system begins to build in from the west. That system coming up from the south, in fact, will lead to some rain chances toward Wednesday night into Thursday. A little measurable rain, and the temps will stay a little cooler with that rain chance, too. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of a conversations I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agro reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. All right, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, mostly sunny in the south, a few clouds in the north. Temperatures pretty nice, very upper 50s and low 60s everywhere. West winds 5 to 15. Still clear overnight, a few upper 30s in the north, low 40s elsewhere. Southwest winds at 5, becoming partly sunny Wednesday and even warmer in the mid-60s with the southwest winds at 5 to 10. But by Thursday, more clouds, some rain, showers, mid-50s. North winds gusting to 25 or more, and Thursday and Thursday night, Pam, some quarter to half inch amount of rain, not out of the question.
Quarter to half, all right, that's all right. I was looking at my talk text line from kind of the wrap-up yesterday. Everybody, you know, happy to report that they were picking up a tenth of an inch, two-tenths of an inch, but they also were pretty quick to point out that we could use more than that.
Oh, yeah. We had another, if it is a half inch Thursday night, that's a nice moisture again.
Well, like I said, there's still, really, depending on where you are, there's not much for standing water anywhere in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, no. It soaked in pretty quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thank you.
You bet. See ya.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for on a Tuesday. And as always, that talk text line is available to you anytime you want to talk. 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's going to be joining us in about a half an hour. Dairy is actually probably our focal point of conversation. It's pretty active this morning if you haven't seen. We've got details on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olson, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A banker to whom Wall Street listens to is making a prediction.
Jamie Dimon says he expects the economy to grow this year, but warns there are problems on the horizon. The JP Morgan CEO says in his annual letter to shareholders that the wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, as well as an increasingly combative political process combined with inflation, could harm the economy more than any time since World War II. Dimon is considered by many to be the nation's most influential banker, and his comments have moved the financial markets. Daria Albinger, ABC News, New York.
The European Climate Change Service, Copernicus, says March was the 10th straight month with record-breaking global temperatures, and March 2024 is now the warmest March ever. A New York appeals judge rejected Donald Trump's request to delay his hush money trial starting next Monday and for a change of venue. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden unveiling a new student loan forgiveness plan at a stop in Madison Monday. Up to $20,000 in interest would be canceled for the 25 million Americans who owe more now than they first borrowed.
While college degree still is a ticket to the middle class, that ticket's becoming much too expensive.
And borrowers who make less than $120,000 a year could have their interest canceled. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican bill that would have let 14 and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin work without getting a state permit or their parents' permission. The Republican bill was part of a wider push to roll back child labor laws in Wisconsin. Evers says asking more kids to work is not a serious solution to the state's worker shortage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. This one's been circled on the schedule for months. The Bucks hosting the number one seed in the conference, the Celtics, tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks trying to snap that four-game losing streak at home and overcome injuries, like Chris Middleton having a tooth knocked out Sunday night against the Knicks. Doc Rivers.
And Chris, you know, was great to begin in the game. He was absolutely fantastic. You just feel bad for him. The guy can't catch a break, you know. What's the odds of you getting you're going to a game. Okay, tonight it'll be my tooth getting knocked out. You know, it's just, he's having one of those seasons. Just tough luck.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Reds again in Cincinnati after losing the opener last night 10-8. Milwaukee committing four errors.
You know, there's a million things we could have done better. But it's part of it. It's part of it. You don't always play great defense. This was a draining game, but we battled back, and there's a lot to be proud of.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball, noon to 2 on Tuesday. It'll be our friend Luke Mathers and much more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible off and on through about midday, and then we will gradually become partly cloudy this afternoon. 56 today, the wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 36. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 65 with some late day and nighttime showers. That will continue into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas!
That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisisretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Report with Pam Yonke.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, stepping in to join us this morning. Not a lot happening in the marketplace, at least not right now. We'll find out what the news headlines are all about when John joins us. Today is the ninth day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1898, Curly Lambeau was born. Of course, he ended up being the founder, a player, a coach, and ultimately the vice president of the Green Bay Packers. He was born in Green Bay, died in 1965 at just the age of 67. Curly Lambeau, born on this day in 1898. On this day in 2005, Prince Charles marries Camilla Parker Bowles. Was formerly married to Princess Diana, of course. Camilla, his second marriage, that made him the very first member of the British royal family to have a civil wedding. Prince Charles marries Camilla Parker Bowles on this day back in 2005. Happy birthday today to actor Dennis Quaid, 70 years young. Cynthia Nixon, she is 58 years young. And now you know. Have you ever noticed that once in a while when you use a phrase, everybody around you just automatically gets it? They smile, they nod, they react. What if I use the phrase 4-H camp? Now, 4-H is a program that involves youth from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different geographies, all across the state of Wisconsin. It's a nationwide program. It's really a global program when it comes to building young people's leadership abilities, exposing them to new opportunities. And that's what I saw in 4-H camp. Now, 4-H camps have been around for decades in Wisconsin. Many of you, I bet, could share some great stories about your involvement in 4-H camp, maybe as a youth, maybe as a counselor. I talked about it all with Marie Witzel. She is the Dodge County 4-H Extension Specialist, and right now she is busy trying to get all the details pulled together for 4-H camp and the Dodge County youth that will be involved. And she said one thing that's changed the value of 4-H camp since the pandemic is bringing young people together, minus their parents, to experience new friendships and new learning opportunities. But it brings with it a little bit of stress. And Marie Witzel says that's something that 4-H counselors are taking seriously this year, recognizing that by those young people stepping out of their shell, stepping out of their security circle, they're vulnerable. And she wants to be respectful of that.
That's one of the things that I wanted to focus on last summer. I heard from some people that had gone to a national training last year that maybe we need to talk about some of the things we don't talk about with young people. Mental health, anxiety, some of those things that we don't know that young people may be dealing with. And so how do we do that? And so what I decided to do last summer is I made a 4-week newsletter. So each week leading up to camp, I was sending out just a 1-page thing. And, you know, the first one was kind of an introduction and an opportunity for them to get to know a little more about me and our counselors. We did a video with our counselors. And so I had that clip in there. And then to ask them, are there things that we need to know about your young person that's coming to camp, like, do they usually sleep with a stuffed animal or something like that? Do we need to make sure that we are thinking about those to help relieve some of that anxiety of maybe being away from home for the first time? We don't, you know, however that may look. And so that was really, I think, helpful for the families. I think that helped them to bring them at ease. And then in the middle of that 4 weeks, I did an evening Zoom where parents and kids could get on, and we talked about camp, and then parents felt a little more comfortable that they could call me and say, okay, so this is what I'm worried about with my young person. So that was helpful as well, is because, like you said, they haven't been away from families, and maybe even with COVID, they're not doing sleepovers with their friends. You know, all of the things that you and I grew up, like, that was just normal. I'd be over at so-and-so's house for, you know, a couple of days or whatever, working on whatever projects at the farm or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And so young people haven't necessarily done that. And so trying to help them feel comfortable to be in that setting with new friends. And also then when we get to camp, making sure that they know and have a chance to meet these new people and build some connection so they feel more comfortable as well.
Marie Witzel's along with us. She is the 4-H extension agent for Dodge County. We're talking about 4-H summer camp, and it is an opportunity provided all across the state of Wisconsin in different dates, different locations. Now, let's help people understand, for parents that are saying, wait a minute, my kid can't put up a tent, my kid can't, cook over an open fire, that type thing. It is not, at least every camp that I've ever experienced, Marie, is safe and far from uncomfortable. It's just different.
It is different. And actually, the camp that we use, and what a lot of people use for, especially the third to sixth grade members, is that they are actually at a camp facility. And so there are cabins that usually house, like, our camp has probably about 20 young people in the cabin, and there are teen counselors in that cabin, and there are adults in a separate room at that cabin. And so they and we have the camp facility that we rent. They have a food service, and so they provide all of the food. They provide lifeguards. But that's big things that they provide. The seventh and eighth graders now, those outpost experience, that may be a little bit different. In our particular, this is the first year we're going to do outpost as a part of our camp. And in that, they're going to have kind of like those yurts. I don't know what else you call them. It's a soft-sided kind of tent thing that's already living at the camp. So they're not putting up a tent. And they may start doing some cooking over a fire and things like that. But we also only have 20 kids that are doing that this year. Mm-hmm. And so that was our set target, is like, okay, we're only going to have 20 seventh and eighth graders mm-hmm. that are cooking over a fire and learning how to do some of those outdoor living skills.
Marie Witzel, hopefully giving you a little bit better idea of what 4-H camp is all about. She's the Dodge County 4-H Youth Extension Specialist and encourages parents that want their kids to maybe think about 4-H camp. Contact your county extension office. Find out what available dates look like. There is also the state 4-H campgrounds. That's outside of Wisconsin Dells in Upham Woods. But the bottom line is, there is an opportunity that I'm afraid many families otherwise would overlook. We don't want to overlook the markets. Just a quick look for you this morning. Right now, December corn's currently down a penny, sitting at 4.72. November beans are unchanged, 11.84. July wheat down 6, 5.74. Yesterday, the barrel cheese in Chicago gained 3.75 cents to 156.75. 40-pound block cheese was up 3.5 at 155. Double A butter 3 cents stronger on Monday to 2.97 a pound. The May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 8 cents right now at 16.83. June closed 35 cents stronger yesterday, 17.39 a hundredweight. What is going on with that robust dairy complex that we witnessed yesterday? Probably one of the questions I'm going to be talking about with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's on the horizon.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is April Fool's Day. Did you fall for any jokes today, Conrad?
Well, I guess I did fall for one, but it was unfair because it happened last week.
Yeah, what the heck?
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven.
We both fell for that, but that's not even... It's like, after the Kurter Burger, I'll believe anything. I can believe it was hot dog water, and that was like March 26th. That's so lame.
They actually did make it, though. Good. They got some people to actually drink it.
Suckers.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tuesday on Up North News Radio, my recent one-on-one interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin about her campaign and a little personal history as well.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
013276, understanding that sometimes we get caught up in jargon or maybe something that's not as easily consumed by the non-farm public. We want to make sure we're helping you out there, but you've got to tell me, okay? So use that talk text line. Same thing when we have people like John Heinberg joining us. He's with us on a Tuesday morning. He is one of the broker analysts, market specialist with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. If we get a little high, a little deep in the weeds, you don't be afraid to let us know that you need explanation. Explanation's kind of what I'm looking for this morning, John. Really, I guess, enough for people to notice changeover in what was going on in the dairy complex. You say it really has to do, kind of going back to a subject matter that I've been talking about for it seems like forever, that highly pathogenic avian influenza situation that started in Texas in our dairy cattle, spread to, I think the last time I heard, 6 states when Ohio got added in. You say that is part of the story you want to share this morning.
Yeah, just, you know, we got to cover some things sometimes, you know, what happens in the news cycle and how the markets react to what comes across in news events and things of that nature. And, you know, there's also the underlying story for milk prices. We've been really on a tumble going back to the middle of February. Some of that ties into when we first started hearing talk of cattle getting ill before we knew it was the HPAI, you know, in Texas and things of that nature. And it brought some fear into the marketplace. I add into that some demand concerns. You saw cheese prices kind of tumble, you know, and other things of that nature. And the milk prices just took basically a bloodbath here until, you know, last week in April. And or last week, you know, and we finally found some footing here. Now, all of a sudden, the market seems to have kind of gotten past that news cycle a little bit. You know, we get those news stories. It hits the media. People come and react. I even have people asking me what's going to happen to the price of eggs. What's going to happen to the price of milk, you know, out in the street, you know, of which obviously you say, you know, these are very small isolated incidences when you think about the major market, you know, and it just kind of feels like that kind of moved through the milk market. And now we've kind of found ourselves a bottom. Cheese prices found some footing, which obviously is helping too. And next thing you know, the May contracts picked up $1.20 off its lows in a matter of a handful of days.
Yeah. And that, like you had mentioned before, whether we like it or not, that is the way trade happens today. Computers and algorithms, not necessarily people with a pulse.
Very much so. And, you know, and those, the computers and the algos are a major factor in this, more than people realize. And sometimes it makes it very, very difficult for producers to manage prices because, again, a headline or just a title can bring some, you know, quick reaction. Just going to give a quick example. I do another podcast through another group, and the headline was cattle market collapses, and that was right when we were kind of talking about the HPAI. I get 17,000 views on that podcast. Typically, I get about 2,000, 3,000. So you can tell we must have triggered something in the algos to get those computers and people looking at that podcast for some reason. Again, that just tells you it's a great reflection of how the media and the current market environment can be triggered just by one word or another that comes through some form of social media.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us this morning. Always want to remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number if you ever want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. All right, so let's pivot a little bit. I'm fine. I get it as far as the headlines and the quick reaction. But dairy now, for 2 days, we've seen a pretty substantial bump up on our cheese price. Butter's been doing pretty well. Is that motivated by the same kind of, I don't want to say false news, that's way overused, John, but is it influenced by the same kind of algorithms and action?
Well, it kind of comes, it's a trickle effect. If the consumer feels concerned, they step away from products. That hurts demand, turns off that demand cycle a little bit in that regard. Now, also, like I said, we were just running through a demand hole at this time frame, and now finally starting to see some pickup in cheese prices across the globe, as well as, you know, obviously here in the United States. Milk supplies are actually starting to crank up a little bit now. We're hitting the springtime window, and things are getting, you know, we're seeing the production ramp up here in this area. But it just was to a point where sometimes markets move beyond where they need to just because of events, money flow, things of those nature. And that's why you see some sometimes quick movements in a marketplace, as all of a sudden now, hey, reality is really probably not where we were. It's where we probably should be, where we are now, which is about a buck above where we've been. So now the key for the milk market, we've had this price recovery. We're back to the $16, $17 handle in these front months. You know, we're still on a down slope in terms of the market price overall, but maybe we can hold in here for a while. But the key still comes back to the consumer wanting to step into the market, buy cheese, buy milk products, you know, as well as the export side of the equation in terms of getting product moved overseas.
So let's just talk for a moment about overseas. It's been a while since we talked at all about what's going on in South America, John, transportation related issues. We're getting ready to hit the fields. Where is South America standing? How's their weather?
All right, reviewing quickly where Brazil is. They're getting real close to the end of that harvest. They're in the last, you know, 20% or so of that harvest for those soybeans. But we're starting to see some things happen. The Brazil prices are on the climb. So it's starting to tell me maybe those beans aren't out there. Producers aren't selling them to the level that, you know, we've seen in the past. And that's kind of maybe helped support the soybean market here, at least a little bit in the front run. You know, so we're kind of moving past the window in terms of that Brazil harvest, watching the weather for the corn crop. At this time, no concerns for the whole. There's obviously isolated areas that have dryness concerns or wetness concerns, given the size of the country. So right now, Brazil's in pretty good shape where we are. Biggest focus now is Argentina. We're getting close to the harvest window there. We're just starting to see soybean harvest begin, as well as corn harvest right around the corner. They're dealing with some disease issues on the corn side. They got a big infestation of leafhoppers, so it brings what they call stunt disease. And actually, yesterday, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange lowered their corn crop by 2 million metric tons based on the impacts of that disease coming through. Now, they're still producing a monster crop, a record crop. There was 55 million tons. They're now at 52. So it just tells you what type of corn crop we're getting out of Argentina. That's going to be another wet blanket that's going to fit on top of our corn prices if we get any type of a rally.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us this morning. Let's pivot that and talk another wet blanket that the cattle market had dealt with, kind of back to our initial conversation. High path avian influenza put a big question mark in the beef supplies, and there still seems to be some sluggishness related to people's pocketbooks, huh, John?
Very much so. I mean, the beef demand is a big concern right now, and then markets were fluffy. In other words, we have high prices compared to historical levels. We get that headline. We see a little money flow, triggered some stops, boom, down the market falls very, very quickly. Now, we're trying to find some stability, at least on yesterday's trade after a difficult week again last week. So we'll have to watch. One of the biggest trends, though, I was kind of keeping an eye on, retail values. We saw choice carcasses drop back under the $300 level on Friday for the first time since going back to early February. So that kind of has us concerned, you know, maybe the consumer demand for beef is slowing here. I think some of that was more tied to the weather, Easter being early, things of that nature coming into play. Now we'll see if this market can find some stability again. Charts don't look very good, and sometimes the technical trade in terms of how a price moves can outweigh the fundamentals in shorter term windows like this. But at least we saw retail values pop back a little bit yesterday. Again, prices got cheap enough. You saw the retailers or the consumers step into that market and they want that retail beef. Now with a little bit warmer forecast, you know, typically we see our peak in retail values around June. So hopefully we can find some footing in that market as well, because the cattle numbers still are not out there. But unfortunately, the price move is more because of other factors sometimes in the marketplace and money flow.
Have we gotten a handle on how many head were lost in that panhandle fire?
Still haven't got a good grasp of that number overall, other than just some averages and really, again, something moving out of the news cycle. We haven't seen a whole lot of coverage on it. Those numbers will show up a little bit more as we get closer to July. We get our next cattle and calves report, and we'll see some of those numbers come forward there, at least in terms of cow numbers. So again, it's a still tight cattle supply market. We still got extremely aggressive cattle prices on the countryside in terms of looking for feeders, what producers have to pay for those feeder cattle. Just because the competition's out there and just the lack of animals that are available.
All right, got to let you go. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, totalfarmmarketing.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
How meat exports bring value to U.S. crops. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
How do U.S. crop growers benefit from meat exports? The U.S. Meat Export Federation asks the Washington, D.C. consulting firm Jude Group to quantify that value. Here's Dave Jude.
We estimate that the value of red meat exports to a bushel of corn is about 87 cents. If you apply that across the whole 2023 corn crop, that's going to total $13.35 billion. Of additional revenue to corn production that wouldn't be there if there wasn't the demand from the red meat exports.
Jude says it's not just corn growers realizing that value from meat exports.
Pork exports in 2023 added about $1.95 per bushel value to soybeans, and $1.95 across 4.16 plus million acres adds up to about $8.12 billion.
Poultry and eggs are also a big export category for U.S. agriculture, and crops like corn, soybeans, and wheat make up a substantial portion of poultry feed mixes. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Here's what you need to know to enjoy a bit of the solar eclipse on Monday afternoon, April 8th. You may be asking, what is a solar eclipse? Well, it's rare, and it happens when the moon moves in front of the sun, blocking the light for just a few minutes. Unfortunately, though, our state is not in the direct path of the total eclipse. Instead, Wisconsin will be under a partial eclipse, with southeastern areas of the state seeing a bit more of the shadow. So, do we still need special glasses to see the eclipse? Absolutely. These eclipse glasses have a unique filter to protect your eyes from damage. You can find more information by going to eclipse.aas.org. By the way, there won't be another eclipse until 2044. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, hey, guys, can I get a dunk? Somebody throws him the ball. And he runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights, this is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.